Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah! In just 3 hours, the New York Yankees look to go up 3-0 on the Guardians. We'll take you right up until the Yankee pregame show. We got a very busy, quick, fast-paced show. Bad Tiki will be on the program. We will get you ready for Yankees-Guardians. We got a lot of Mets to talk about. There's a conspiracy going on against the New York Mets.
Oh,
we will expose. So we got a lot to do over the course of the next 2.5 hours. We'll, of course, talk to you at 888-808-1019. I want to make this very, very clear. This series between the New York Mets and the Los Angeles Dodgers is not over. All right? So to my fellow Met fan that is giving up, to my fellow Met fan that's throwing in the towel, to my fellow Met fan that's saying, ah, gee golly, they're just too good, hooey! Now, I'm not going to confidently tell you, Tiki, the Mets are going to win the series.
Yeah, it's hard to do that because the Dodgers are so damn good.
They're very good. They're very good. And we should have known that coming in. But the one thing I don't want to hear, as a student of history and as a guy that's watched enough baseball, it doesn't matter if you lose 8-0 and you lose 9-0. It's irrelevant. We all know how it got to 8-0 last night. Carlos Mendoza made some business decisions late in this game. And there are a lot of things that, sure, I'm concerned about, a lot of things they've got to be better at. But right from jump, I want to make this clear. As somebody that's not normally an optimistic guy,
I'm telling you,
the idea that they're dead, the idea that it's over, the idea that it's a fait accompli, it's Yankees Dodgers, shut up. If you want to go tonight, sell your freaking tickets to somebody that believes. So I'm not going to give you some high pie in the sky pep talk. The Mets are going to win. They got the magic. I don't know what the hell's going to happen. But what I do know is I've seen enough baseball, Tiki, to not give up because, oh, gee, they lost 8-0 and they've been outscored by a million runs and they haven't scored a run in 24 out of 27 innings. Everything can change on a dime, and it better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised at this positive Evan right now.
It's not positive, it's realistic.
Well, I mean, it's realistic, but it's true. I mean, nothing is ever over until it's actually over. We've seen it before. And then down a game? It's not like they're up 3-1 because they could be tonight after tonight or the series is over. I mean, they're down a game. It's 2-1 right now. There's nothing that says that this is over for the Mets. Now, do they need to hit? Sure. They need to be more energetic at home? Sure. But I don't think that the Dodgers are so good that they have to lay down to them right now, if you're the Mets. What? The Mets just have to play better. And if they get an ace performance from Quintana, then they'll be fine. But right now, to me, of course it's not over. Anyone who thinks it is because they got beat the hell up last night, that's baseball.
It is baseball. And losing 8-0 and losing 9-0 may look very bad on a box score. It doesn't mean anything different than losing 3-2.
Yeah.
Like, there is no difference. And here's the reality. You know, I think back in this presidential campaign time to one of the great presidential slogans of all time. It was 1992, and James Carville and Paul Begala, as they were running the Clinton campaign, said, "It's the economy, stupid." That was their big thing. It's the economy, stupid. You could talk about all these other things, but this election in 1992 was all going to come down to the economy. So I want to borrow their phrase to describe the ills of the New York Mets. It's the offense, stupid. It's the offense, stupid. It's the offense. Like, yeah, I can go through and we can spend all day going through the defensive miscue that was made by Francisco Alvarez in the second inning of yesterday's game. And we can go through the two defensive miscues by the Gold Glove finalist known as Luis Severino. And we could go through how they gave the Dodgers 2 runs in that second inning, though Tyrone Taylor made one hell of a catch.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. We go through that. But when the Mets have the bases loaded and one out in the second inning, and Francisco Alvarez has an at-bat in which he looks like he doesn't belong on this stage, and Francisco Lindor, who is very tough to ever criticize, but bases loaded, two outs, he strikes out in a big spot, that's where things have to change. In the second inning, or I'm sorry, the third inning, when they have two on and two out, and here's J.D. Martinez. Of course, a big spot finds J.D. Martinez. And I know what Tiki was thinking as he watched that at-bat. He said, boy, Evan's right. I'd rather have Jesse Winker up in this spot than J.D. Martinez. They failed. And in 27 innings that they've played against the L.A. Dodgers, they have not scored a run in 24 of them, which is crazy to think about. And that's why the Mets are down 2-1. They're not scoring. Now, can that change? Yeah. The Mets have had a very good offense. The Mets have beat good pitching. In fact, the Mets have beaten better pitching than what the L.A. Dodgers are offering.
Right.
They have. But now, do the Dodgers have a great lineup? Absolutely. And they haven't even been destroyed yet by Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman. I know Ohtani hit the home run late. The game was already over by that point. They haven't been destroyed by their monsters. But the pitching that's shutting down the New York Mets, while I give them credit, the Mets have beaten better. They have. And so that's what needs to change. It's the offense, stupid. If it doesn't change, they're going home. If it doesn't change, yes, the L.A. Dodgers are going back to the World Series for the first time since 2020. But if it does change, then damn right the Mets have a chance to come back.
Yeah, of course, but it's a lot that needs to change because the way that the Mets have scored a lot of runs this postseason has been clutch home runs. It's big moments where guys come through. And I don't want to say it was these are easy moments, but Francisco Lindor, when he hit the Grand Slam against the Phillies, it was I don't want to say it was easy, but he knew he was getting a fastball, right? That's all he was getting thrown with fastballs. And then you get Walker Buehler, who turned into vintage Walker Buehler, who threw him that changeup that just dropped completely away from his bat. And he's just got to think different, right? He's got to think differently when against certain pitchers. And you assume, as a batter, I'm guessing, because I never did this on a professional level, that people are going to attack you one way. But the reality is smart pitchers don't. And so you've got to get better. You've got to get more informed. You've got to be willing to not just try to hit the home run. Because that's what I felt like he was doing.
And he didn't need to.
Of course he didn't need to.
At that point in the game, a base hit up the middle ties the game.
Right.
A base hit up the alley gives you the lead. They're missing the big hit. What they did in that game four, the game you talked about where Lindor hit the grand slam, they were knocking on the door every single inning. And they wouldn't break through. And it was incredibly frustrating. But, and this is one of the benefits of playing the Phillies versus the Dodgers, because the Dodgers are better. The Mets can't play that kind of game. They can't miss out on opportunities for the first five or six innings and expect that their pitching is going to hold down this Dodger lineup. They're better than that. They are. And what really scares me about the L.A. Dodgers is, like I said, their monsters, Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman, haven't even killed them yet. Again, I know Ohtani hit the home run in the eighth inning. I mean, it's 4-0 in the eighth inning. That game is freaking over. At least that's the way I felt. Those monsters haven't slaughtered them yet. You know, the Mets have really been beat by clutch hitting from other guys.
Right.
You know, Kiki Hernandez's two-run home run in the sixth inning was a killer.
That's when it was over.
No doubt about it. I'm sitting at Citi Field. There was a confidence that I had even down 2-0. They'll come back. Even when Alvarez had that pathetic at-bat in the second and Lindor struck out, there's a confidence of they'll come back. But unlike Philly and Milwaukee, you can't just keep it there for six or seven innings and wait for that miracle moment. You have to take advantage of these opportunities that you have early. And that's what's got to change. Sometimes things are just so simple. And it is. They have to hit. They are not beating the L.A. Dodgers by winning 2-1, 3-2 games. I'd be stunned if that happened. They've got to score runs. And I said this about Pete Alonso before Game 3 against Milwaukee. And I and every Met fan was rewarded. What I said to you, Tiki, is I know he's capable of it. I look at this Met offense, and by the way, that includes Francisco Alvarez, who's being run out of town today. I know they're all capable of it. I've seen this Met team beat better pitching than the pitching that's shutting them down right now. They beat Devin Williams with the season on the line.
Right.
Like, I know what they're capable of doing. And so the hold I hold out on as we get set for a very important game for Citi Field. And it's top to bottom. It's a lot of guys who have failed in this series. Lindor has one hit. Now, it was a very important hit. I don't want to minimize it, but he only has one hit. Pete Alonso's done very little. Brandon Nimmo finally got a base hit. It was a check swing down the third base line. Jose Iglesias has done little. J.D. Martinez has done little. Hopefully he's not in the lineup tonight. But all of these guys are capable of it. And it's got to change.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't, this season's over.
Right. I mean, you'll know. You'll know pretty quickly tonight whether or not the Mets have a shot. It's whether or not they're hitting. I don't know who's pitching for the Dodgers tonight.
Yamamoto.
Oh, lovely. That guy.
I see what you're doing.
That guy. I mean, if you don't hit that guy, then I was wrong.
Too small for this moment, right?
I did. I couldn't wait for this moment.
It's amazing how this story works. So for a while, we as Met fans and Yankee fans, we're all talking about Yamamoto. Mm-hmm. And Tiki was the one voice who said, I don't think he's very good. I think he's overrated. Now, we've seen two Yamamotos. We saw the Yamamoto that got bombed early in the postseason and the Yamamoto that delivered in a huge Game 5 for the LA Dodgers. Which Yoshinobu Yamamoto shows up tonight?
If he's healthy, I mean, that makes it more interesting.
Tiki?
Biggest issue was I don't think he could stay healthy. He didn't for the entire season, but when he came back, he was actually pretty damn good.
If Yamamoto pitches well tonight, I blame you.
Why?
Because you talked a lot of crap about this guy.
Why? Because I talked the Met fans out of wanting him
yes!
after he went to the Dodgers for whatever the $500 million that he went. No, he didn't go for that much, but whatever.
Felt like that.
It did. But you know what I mean? After the Mets lost out on him, it was like, yeah, forget him. Tiki was right about him. We don't want him anyways.
Right.
He's good. And then he comes back and kills you. I'll take blame for it.
Here's the reality of players. And it goes for Met players, Yankee players, and certainly a guy like Yamamoto. What you do in the regular season matters. What you do in October matters more.
No doubt.
And so for a guy like him, if he delivers 5 or 6 scoreless innings against the Mets, then he's worth every freaking penny. Now let me address Francisco Alvarez. Because I got to tell you, I think this is an open and shut case. And I know I'm going to get yelled at. I know Met fans are going to be angry with me. But Francisco Alvarez should be in the starting lineup tonight. And there are two reasons for it. And I want to make them very clear so we all understand. Number one, his connection with Jose Quintana matters. Right now, at this point in the season, your catcher, yeah, you want to get some offense from them. But the most important thing from a catcher is the connection with the guy on the mound. Can he maximize what you're getting from the guy on the mound? The numbers, I've analyzed them. I'd look at them. I can break them down for you if you really care. He's better with Alvarez catching him versus Luis Torrens. He's not a train wreck with Luis Torrens, but he's better with Francisco Alvarez. That's number one. And that could be the end of the discussion. Like, I could literally just put that on the table and say open and shut. But that's not the only thing. See, when you call up this radio station today, or you tweet, or you talk to your friends, I totally get the arguments of, hey, I want to sit Jose Iglesias. Because maybe Jeff McNeil can get hot. Or maybe Luis Angel Acuna can give them a little fire. I get all that. But I need to remind every single Met fan, especially you Johnny-come-latelys who's just started watching after game 161, Luis Torrens' bat has been limper than my bat my entire high school career over the last few months. He has not hit. So if you're benching Alvarez with the hope of, hey, maybe we can get a spark, you're barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah, because it's not worth what you're losing out defensively from Francisco Alvarez.
Not only that, yes, Tiki, but I'll tell you something else. And I know this is going to sound crazy. I think there's a better chance Francisco Alvarez hits a big 3-run home run tonight than Luis Torrens does. It's just true. So for any other change that a Met fan wants to make, I get it. Because a part of you looks at the alternative and says, hey, I can see Harrison Bader having a big day against Yamamoto. He had one earlier this year. I can see Jeff McNeil, who won a batting title, contributing. I can see Luis Angel Acuna giving this team a spark. Like, that's all fair game, and it should all be on the table. But Luis Torrens, after a really fast start with his team, did not hit at all. So it's almost like you're letting your frustration out at a guy who is really struggling. Mm-hmm. I am not defending him. The defensive miscues, the
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
expressiveness. And that's not the first time he's made a defensive miscue behind the plate. But I still think their best answer in this moment for this game is Francisco Alvarez.
Right. And again, it's Francisco Alvarez is likely not hitting a 3-run home run in this game. But if he runs into one, it's great. But to me, it's more about what he's been defensively as a leader for the pitcher, right? As the battery mate for the guy on the mound. That matters probably a lot more.
It does.
And, I mean,
because you need the best of Quintana today.
Right, exactly. And you need to shut down the Dodgers' bats more than you do need to worry about him getting hot against Yoshinobu Yamamoto, right? And even if he does, that's gravy to me. It's more about what he brings defensively and who he is as a young leader on this team. It gets really challenging when you think about some of these guys and what Mindy's thought processes are going to be as far as who's in this lineup today. Because in one part, you do want someone to spark you. But at this stage in the season, right, you're two losses away from being done. Do you want to rely on someone you don't know yet? Right, don't quite believe in yet, that becomes challenging for the skip. And so that's why you see Mindy making these decisions with guys that he had been in the spot. I mean, it's why, despite his ineffectiveness, J.D. Martinez, despite the two walks, right, J.D. Martinez is in the lineup.
Right.
Is he going to be there more? I don't know. But he's been there before. Right, you saw him win a world championship. You know that he has the ability to respond in the postseason. You don't necessarily know that about Winker. Right?
I know about a Winker. Winker's got to play over JD. Don't start with me about this.
He's been fun. I'm just talking about why
Mindy. He's already contributed, though.
I'm talking about why Mindy is looking at it this way.
I think he's wrong about this one.
He might be.
But just he's already contributed.
But you can understand why he thinks this way, though.
I mean, to an extent, but not fully. Like, I think sometimes you've also got to play the hot hand. And Jesse Winker's been hot.
Yeah.
So the Winker-JD thing to me is very different. You know I hated the move yesterday, so you can imagine how I felt when, of course, a big spot found JD Martinez.
True.
And we all know what happened. But I want to remind people about something, because this is very, very important. When you want to bench somebody, I get it. I'm angry, too. We all sat there last night, whether you're watching the Dodger broadcast, I'm sorry, I mean the Fox broadcast, or you were at Citi Field, we were all angry about Alvarez's defensive miscue in the second inning. We were all upset about the overwhelming strikeout he had in the second inning as well. But when you bench somebody, whether it's Iglesias, whether it's Alvarez, whether it's Taylor, understand the alternative. Luis Torrens, and I don't mean to pick on him, but he's the alternative. If you're calling up to bench Alvarez, there's no debate on who's playing for him. It's Luis Torrens.
Yeah.
Do you know the last time Luis Torrens got a base hit? Does anybody know? You want to guess? Sean, how about you? You want to guess?
September 9th.
That's a good guess, September 9th. You want to guess positive, Tommy?
September 12th.
That's a good guess.
August 20th.
That's an even better guess. September 2nd.
Wow.
He ended the regular season on like an 0 for 12. And I don't mean to pick on Luis Torrens.
I just didn't remember him playing that much.
Well, he played a lot more than you actually remember, because he did play a little bit towards the end of the season, but he wasn't hitting. So, and also, he hasn't played in the postseason other than for one inning behind the plate. So, Met fans, think about this again. Just think about it again. As pissed off as you are at Alvarez, we all are, your alternative is a guy that has caught how many innings over the last 3 weeks, and a guy who has not gotten a base hit since September 2nd against the Boston Red Sox. Labor Day. That's a long time ago. And that's the guy in a game 4 in the middle of October you're so mad at Alvarez you want to put out there. That's why, kindly, Met fans, I disagree with you. But we'll hear from you next, 888-808-1019. Yankee fans, we got a lot to talk about with you as well. We'll get you all primed up and ready to go for Game 3 of the ALCS. We're going to give you a chance to win your way in and see the Mets and the Dodgers Game 5 of the NLCS tomorrow. A little bit of an earlier start, 5 o'clock start. By the way, yesterday I was bragging to you about how prepared I was for the cold weather. I got long johns. I got my hand warmers. I love the hand warmers. I get into the ballpark last night. I forgot my freaking hand warmers. I was hand warmerless.
Yeah. Oh, so what did you rub?
Brutal. I don't want to be too graphic about this, but the warmest place on your body is,
Groin.
Your groin and your butt. So I stuck my hand down and, you know, basically did that.
Sat on them?
Yeah, I sat on it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
That's what you got to do. Dude, I used to bike during the coldest of weathers, and when I would forget my hand warmers, they weren't working properly, hand down the pants, man. It's the only option you got. It's the warmest part of your body.
Team shop gloves, you're good.
Yeah, gloves don't work that well, man. They really don't. You got to, like, you got to insulate. It's got to be tighter. Unfortunately, they're not that tight. Luckily, I got the hand warmers ready to go today. I brought some extras in case anyone's at the ballpark, and they're like, hey, Evan, I forgot my hand warmers. I'll throw you a hand warmer. But it was a nippy night last night at Citi Field. The problem was the Mets also sucked. That didn't help. That wasn't fun. And the Mets, of course, lose 8-0. Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Earl is in Trumbull, Connecticut. How are you, Earl?
I got to tell you, I'm very aggravated, but let me make a couple of points because I think you're missing something here.
Go.
You guys both seem to be under the mistaken impression that the catcher we currently use is better than the backup defensively. And you do know that Torrens is better defensively.
He's better at throwing guys out at second. There are a lot of aspects to catching defense. So you're right. But in terms of throwing guys out at second base, Torrens was great. Alvarez sometimes becomes very pitch frame happy and lets balls get past him. But to me, let me just finish this before you continue because I get your point, but I want to clarify. The most important thing is the chemistry and a connection that a catcher has with a pitcher. And there's no denying that for whatever reason, Alvarez has gotten the best out of Jose Quintana.
Okay, no doubt that Quintana's been good. But you're forgetting a couple of things also. Listen, if you get the opportunity during the broadcast, if you are watching on television like most of us are, when they zoom in on the strike zone, you watch the way Alvarez catches the ball. He closes his eyes and he squints and he shakes his head when he catches the ball. It's almost kind of like, he's really, it's just not the way a professional catcher should be receiving the ball if you compare him to other pros. The other thing also is that great skill he has about catching the ball and pulling in the strike zone. Maybe he was better at that in the minors. He looks like a little leaguer. He catches the ball a foot outside and drags it in, thinks he's fooling the umpire. I used to umpire. You're not fooling me.
Okay.
If you move
I want to go,
ball
but
like that,
that's all fine and dandy. Can we go back to the most important point, which you're ignoring? Like you acknowledged it, but
What's
you ignored
that?
It? They've gotten the best out of Quintana with Alvarez catching him. Does that not matter going into a game four to you?
I do think that that's important. But remember, though, it's not solely. I mean, the only reason Quintana is pitching good isn't only because of the catcher.
I'm not saying it's the only reason. I'm saying that if you look at his September, his scoreless streak that he put together was with Alvarez catching him. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So why would you mess with that? All that other stuff, by the way, I don't even disagree with you. Alvarez drives me nuts sometimes. He's so pitch frame happy, balls get past him. He hasn't been great blocking balls in the dirt. He hasn't been great throwing guys out at second base. And we saw the defensive miscue last night. It's all well said. I'm with you on all that. But you know what matters to me more than all of that? Getting the best out of Jose Quintana with your backs almost against the
wall. Right, because that's your best chance to win tonight, is to stifle in some way the Los Angeles Dodgers' bats. Whether it's the guys up top who we're talking about who haven't really killed you yet. Otani went yard, but I think most people had already checked out by then. But if you need him to be as spot on as he possibly can be, and if Francisco Alvarez helps him be that player, then Francisco Alvarez starts behind the dish.
And I would tell you, if Alvarez has another day in which he's lost to the plate and giving you nothing, and another day where the defense hurts, as much as Met fans will think the season's over, down 3-1, and you may be right, then maybe in a game five, I'll go desperate the way most of you are now and say, screw it, I'll go to Luis Torrens, even though the guy hasn't had a base hit since September 2nd.
Right.
But on a night like tonight, with specifically Quintana on the mound, I think it would be a big mistake. And I'm happy that in this case, because me and Mendy always aren't on the same page, I'm happy that we are on the same page on this one. Mike's in Elmont. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, Evan? I wanted to talk about my experience at Dodger Stadium this weekend. I actually live in Southern California, so I have severe FOMO about the Mets right now.
Right.
It's been a while since they were in the World Series. Actually, when I moved to California, 2015 was the last time they were in the World Series.
That's
so.
Right. Yep.
Been a full circle. Anyway, I was there Sunday for game one. Terrible, terrible experience. I hate Dodgers fans. My brother and sister actually went on Monday. They met David Wright getting beers. They took a picture with him. That was pretty cool.
I was
pretty jealous about that. Yeah. But my question to you is, I'm torn right now because I want to go to game six out here, but I also want to go to the World Series, and I can't afford both. So, Evan, what should I do?
Game six.
As a Mets fan with
game
severe...
Six.
Game six?
Game six.
And but, a Mets Yankees World Series is like revenge for my 11-year-old self.
Look,
and I
understand that thought, and I've noticed something that's been going on over the last couple of days. Prices to get into Citi Field are lowered. Mm. And that was before they even lost last night. And I made this observation off air. I'm not sure if I said it to you, Teague.
You did.
The prices are going down because if you want to use the word arrogance, we can use the word arrogance. There was an arrogance of, hey, I'll save my money for the World Series. Now, you have to make a decision with your eyes wide open.
Mm.
It is likelier than not, not saying it's over, but it's likelier than not that the Mets are not going to the World Series. Is that a fair statement to make? I'm not saying they're not.
Well, I mean,
it's likelier than not.
It depends on who's writing the script.
Right.
If Fox is writing the script, then perhaps.
But yeah, but even if that's likelier than not, Evan, then why would you then still buy money to the CS if you think it's likely that you're
because
not going to win?
Because he has. It's not about if you think they're going to win or not. It's about
being there.
You be okay with not going to a postseason game? So I'll give you an example that's not exactly the same as Mike's, but I'll give you one. I was able to take my oldest son, Jet, to Mets, Phillies, in Philadelphia, but I really wanted to take him to a playoff game at Citi Field. I'm not arrogantly waiting for the World Series because it may not happen. So I'm taking him tonight because I don't know if there's going to be another game. So the decision you have to make, whether you're thinking of going to Citi Field today or tomorrow, or our last caller's case out in California is, are you okay not going to a playoff game? Because if you're just waiting for a World Series that may never happen, understand that it's more likely than not that you're just not going to a playoff game. And if you're okay with that, then fine. Save your shekels for the World Series.
Right.
But it's likelier than not that you're not going to any postseason game.
Right.
How do you want to handle that?
The California Met fan?
I go to game six.
You better hope it gets out there.
Well, my first thought was there's no guarantee there is a game six.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Let's just get to that point. But to me, I would just go. But I've noticed with these prices at Citi Field, now they're still very expensive. So if anyone's going on SeatGeek right now saying, oh, they're cheap, this is great. They're not cheap. They're just not nearly as expensive as they were, let's say, 5 days ago.
Yeah.
Or even as expensive as they were for the Philly series. They've actually gone down. And I do think a part of that is there are people making that decision that our last caller made, which is, hey, I don't have unlimited money.
Yeah.
I can only spend so much.
And it's cold as hell. So maybe the warmth will be better once we get to the World Series. I mean, it's in it.
You know what's crazy about that?
It's a big deal.
Yeah, my dad said that to me last night. He said the weather's a factor. So it's cold yesterday. It's cold today. If you look ahead to next week for a potential Game 6, Game 7 for the Yankees or the World Series potentially starting, it's supposed to be in the mid to high 70s.
Right.
How about that?
And you don't think people aren't looking out 2 weeks in advance? Of course they are.
I get you. Louie is in Huntington. What's up, Louie?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just got off the LAE, coming from New Jersey here. Thinking about getting last-minute tickets to Citi Field. I got nine of my high school friends going to the game. You know, one of his guys bring his girlfriend. I think he should leave her home and I'll just buy his ticket. But, Ev, I just wanted to get your insight on what shirt I should wear tonight. Should I wear my four-time fantasy baseball championship shirt or my Yankees jersey and my Yankee hat?
Know the answer to this.
I want that Subway Series. I want the Subway Series app, and I'm rooting for the Mets.
Friends? Hold on, Louie. All your friends are Met fans?
Oh, diehard Met fans. So I'm the only one out of my crew.
I mean, you might
There's
be
one able. Other guy.
You might be able to wear the Yankee jersey. I might have to give it to him. He can troll him.
I'm going to root for the Mets.
He's showing Marashing it.
Is that really what you
want
to be?
I want the Subway Series to happen, you know, because I think then we sweep the Mets. All the Mets fans and my buddies go back in their hole.
That's fine.
And that's it. And we'll continue being the kings of New York baseball.
If you wear the Yankees jersey, you have to say, let's go Mets.
What?
That's all you got to do.
You're dead wrong about this, Tiki. I'm sorry. This has nothing to do with this.
I'm just trying to. Can't we all just get along?
Well, you want to all get along? Don't go to a Met playoff game with a Yankee jersey. I'm not going to a Yankee playoff game with a Met jersey.
Two did, though, front row the other night.
Well, and guess what? I would say that they were wrong. I would say that that's stupid. I think it's disrespectful
Why?
To go into an... Because they're not playing.
A little scouting report, though.
Yeah. Look, You can go there and do your scouting. You don't have to advertise that you're a douche.
Okay, but they could be New York fans, not Met or Yankee, just New York fans. They happen to have Yankee jerseys.
Watch this. I'm gonna turn Tiki into a hypocrite. Watch this.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna pull this one off.
Go ahead.
So I don't know if you know this. I'm actually going now to Giants Eagles on Sunday. Lovely. I'm going. I got two tickets.
Nice.
Should I wear my Jet jersey?
Why would you?
I'm just a New Yorker. I just want to have fun.
When are the Giants and the Jets playing?
I'm scouting the Super Bowl. I think the Giants are going to turn their season around. I'm confident in Aaron Rodgers. I'm just scouting for the Subway Super. I know it's not a Subway, but the we're roommates Super Bowl. So you got a problem with that, Teague?
Yeah, because neither team is close.
Bang!
Neither team is a series away.
He walked right into
neither
it.
Neither team is a game away.
So it's okay when you're a series away?
Right. Yes, if the Eagles are playing the Giants in the NFC Championship game and the Jets are already, I don't know, right there in the AFC Championship game, I would have 100% co-signed with
you. Would you be okay with that, Sean?
They're 2-4, both of them.
No, I know. I just have more faith in you guys.
If you're looking in the closet and it's Saquon jersey or Jet jersey, wear the Jet jersey. That's what I'm saying.
I just think... Right. Especially when our last caller offered something different. He said, look, I can go to Citi Field tonight as
but
a Yankee fan.
But he's also going with all of his Met friends.
Okay. That's fine.
And he's the Yankee fan.
I have no issue with him
going. He doesn't want to be identified as a Met fan. He wants to be identified as who he truly is. He wants to hang out with his boy.
Did I suggest he wear a Met jersey? I never said that. He shouldn't wear a Met jersey. He's not a Met fan. I go to Yankee playoff games. I'm actually going to go to the World Series.
So he's
going to
wear a fantasy football or fantasy baseball championship jersey that nobody cares about?
Well, most of the time we don't care what someone wears unless they're advertising their fandom in our face. I have always followed this rule, and keyword followed this rule, not preached the rule like I'm doing right now, but followed it in my own life lessons. I don't go into someone else's building when my team is not playing wearing a jersey of my team. I won't do it. I've been to hundreds is too much. I've been to tens and tens of Yankee postseason games. Every time they're in the playoffs, I try to get to a game or two.
Okay.
I never show up in a Met jersey unless it was the Subway World Series of...
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
2000. And I don't do it because I'm afraid to get beat up. I actually think the Met-Yankee rivalry is more friendly than people realize. It's that it's disrespectful and douchey. So to our last caller, if you do it and you go to Citi tonight wearing a Yankee jersey, you're just going to be identified as a clown.
But I think the circumstances matter. Especially if he's surrounded by dudes who all have Met jerseys on.
You don't have to wear a Met jersey,
though. And one guy's girlfriend, honestly.
I didn't see any Yankee jerseys last night at Citi Field. Thankfully so. And usually you do. During the regular season, you'll always see somebody wearing a stray Jason Giambi. Or just a stray. I think of the most random ones. I saw, what was the jersey I saw? Oh, you know what I saw? Swear to God. Took a picture of it. I'd have to find it in my phone. And it was the worst because the guy had the name on the back, which obviously you shouldn't do with the Yankees because they don't write their names on the back. You know what name was on the back?
What's that?
Gallo. And I don't mean Anthony who works here. Joey Gallo.
What?
I saw a Yankee Joey Gallo jersey at Citi Field this year.
Maybe that was a Met fan mocking the Yankees for having the worst move in imagination.
I thought, so me and my buddy was talking about it that night. Like, is this a mocking jersey?
Mocking because of what?
That he sucked?
Yeah, like, look, I'm wearing a jersey of a guy that you had on your team and he sucked.
Yeah, I don't think that was the case.
Probably not. It's a reach even for me.
You know what it was?
Was Gallo, who are they playing?
That night, I couldn't tell you, but Gallo had no affiliation with it. That I remember because I went through my brain like, oh,
I don't
there.
Know. Who's he playing for now?
He's with
Texas? Minnesota.
That was our Minnesota. Yeah. So that one is pathetic, but I just don't think it's the right thing to do. But hey, it's just my opinion. If you want to go to Citi Field wearing a Yankee jersey, just understand.
Well, also, remember, to throw out the first pitch, you had two Yankees do that for you last night, too. So.
Just stop with that. Stop with that.
I see what you did there.
That's ridiculous.
Two solid. Yankee champions.
I'm not going to fall into his trap.
But Evan, I've learned he's from not him. Wrong.
They played for the Yankees? Yes, they played for the Yankees.
They won championships.
Okay. Well, they won championships.
For a no-hitter, too. Best start ever for a guy's career happened with the Yankees.
What are you trying to do, T?
I'm just telling you. Why? He's factually correct.
Why are you allowing this
to
be
okay? He happened to have on the Mets jersey last night. Both of them did. But, mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, they're great Yankees.
Champion Yankees.
I'll never forget. I'm going to change the subject. Otherwise, I'll punch you in the face.
Champion Mets as well. So. Yeah.
I'll never forget this. I was watching a Brooklyn Nets game, and Daryl Strawberry was at the game. Okay. And I forget who it was. But the announcer, I don't think it was Ian Arruco, said, there's former Yankee Daryl Strawberry. And I got so mad. What? I'm like, if you want to call him former Met and former Yankee Daryl Strawberry, I think that's completely fair. But you can't identify him because it's the Yes Network as just former Yankee Daryl Strawberry.
But he was.
It annoyed me for, but he's more a Met than he is a Yankee.
Of course he is.
Okay, so then you can't identify him as simply a former Yankee. I'm not saying he has to just be a Met. I'm saying you identify both, or you just don't mention the Yankees. But that, you know what that was? That was a Yes job. That's what that was. That was a, hey, we're the Yes Network. We got to, you know, we got to do what we got to do. It's like these cable news channels. We got to pay the piper. So we're just going to call Daryl a legendary Yankee. Let's go to Tommy in Staten Island. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, what's going on, Evan Tiki?
What's up?
Yo.
Evan, you're breaking my heart. I thought you, being a baseball guy, I'd find somebody that would agree with me.
What?
I'm in a group text with a bunch of friends. I'm convinced they know more about the WNBA than baseball. this whole Alvarez thing.
Yeah.
Do you see how lost he is at the plate?
Yes.
I mean, yesterday, a 2-0 pitch, up and in. I had to be watching it because you couldn't experience it listening to it on the radio. 2-0 pitch, up and in, crucial situation. He goes around on the pitch, and he's lost. It changed the complexion of the at-bat. It would have been 3-0. He winds up striking out looking like he did the other, you know, all night, striking out looking. The guy's lost.
Yes.
He's become an automatic out at the plate.
Yes.
A game ago, I was saying, well, at least his defense, we need his defense. No, I'm beyond that now. It's spilling into his defense. He threw it away. It's just, like I thought it was just offensively. He's totally out of it. He needs to sit.
Tommy. I want to have a good conversation with you about this. So I agree how lost he looks offensively. We are in full agreement, okay? My point, the main reason why I play him at least tonight is I need him to get the most out of Jose Quintana, who is going to have the baseball in his hands in the top of the first inning facing Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman. And I have no idea what's going to happen. Quintana could get imploded in the first inning of this game. I don't know. But here's what I do know, and this has to be the common ground, Tommy. Despite everything you said about Alvarez being lost, his offense, you're right. I'm not fighting with you. I need to maximize the most out of Quintana possible, and Alvarez has. Can you not at least agree with me about that?
I hear where you're coming from. But, all right, so what happens if Quintana gets shelled early? Can you pull Alvarez?
Yes.
Can you do it
good.
Then?
I'm glad you asked that. You want to know what I would do differently? Look, let's get further into this discussion. If there's a big spot, even in the middle of this game, doesn't have to be late in this game, I got potentially Jeff McNeil on the bench. Mm. Why is Carlos Mendoza last night in the seventh inning pinch hitting for Tyrone Taylor and not Francisco Alvarez? It's a fair question. Now, I get it. At that point, most people have checked out. At this point, it's 4-0. But still, in the seventh inning of this game, Mendy sent up McNeil to pinch hit for Tyrone Taylor and let Alvarez hit. I am totally with you that it is okay for Mendy to be aggressive early, pinch hitting for Alvarez in a big spot. I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just merely telling you for tonight, with Quintana on the mound, you got to find a way to get the most out of him.
Right. And Francisco Alvarez gives you that chance.
Yes.
At least, you, in theory, he gives you that chance.
Yes. No, I think you can be aggressive pinch hitting for Francisco Alvarez. Absolutely. Now, understand what comes with that. What comes with that is, let's say you do use whatever bat's on the bench, because we haven't got the Met lineup out. Let's say it is Jeff McNeil, because I don't necessarily think he's going to start today. Then Torrens comes in the game. And then you're kind of stuck with Luis Torrens potentially getting a big at-bat when he's doing at-bat later in the game. They don't carry a third catcher. They can't pitch it multiple times. So you got to be smart about when you use that bullet. And one thing that Stephen Vogt, just to bring in the Yankee-Guardian series a little bit, he did the other night that I thought was awesome, even though it didn't work out, was he very early on used David Fry as a pinch hitter. Did it in the fourth inning. And I got it. I understood it. So is there a scenario where it's the bottom of the fifth and it's bases loaded, one out, and Alvarez is due up, and I say, screw it, pull the trigger? Sure. I'm open to it. Let's see what happens. Let's see how this game plays out. But I think the idea of sitting him, I think we need to remind ourselves what it could potentially do to the key to this game tonight, which is Jose Quintana.
This sounds awfully familiar. This sounds exactly like what people were saying about Pete Alonso before game three against the Brewers, and Pete came through.
There is a little bit of it. There is a little bit of
it. I understand the difference.
Pete Alonso had more of a track record than Francisco.
I understand.
Francisco
that.
Hasn't had a great year.
He hasn't, but he's had big moments. Would you agree with that?
He had a walk-off against the Orioles.
He has the ability to hit the ball over the fence.
He does.
He's feared at the plate at times. So I think you stick with him. You show him that confidence, much like Pete Alonso was shown that confidence, and Alvarez will come through.
There's a line, and this is what's so difficult, between sticking with what got you here, and Alvarez was a part of it, and also saying, hey, I'm not just going to look straight into the fire and do nothing to put the fire out. And so that's the line that Mendy's got to have. For many Met fans, they've already decided to throw Francisco Alvarez into the fire. I'm not there because of the guy pitching tonight.
Right.
This discussion may be very different tomorrow. I own that. But for now, because of maximizing Quintana, it's different. Now, a guy like Jose Iglesias, a guy like Tyrone Taylor, the injury to Brandon Nimmo, that's all worthy discussion too, by the way. I thought Brandon Nimmo last night, I'll tell you the moment, I'm not sure if it was captured on TV, when Kiki Hernandez hit the home run, that essentially ended the game. Mm-hmm. You said it, I agree with you. Nimmo leapt up. Did you guys see that? He leapt up to try to catch it?
Yeah.
When he came down, he looked like he was in major pain.
And I thought, didn't notice that.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, he looked like he was in pain all night, but that one's the one that jumped out at me. So you have to have discussions with Brandon Nimmo if you're Carlos Mendoza. You got to look into the man's eye. There's a difference between being injured and hurt, right, Tiki?
Right.
I don't know what the difference is, but apparently there's a difference.
Injured, you're compromising your ability to be productive. Hurt, it just hurts.
Yeah, it feels like Nimmo's injured.
Yeah.
In that it is compromising him. He's had one base hit since the home run in Game 2 against the Phillies. So you got to look in his eyes and say, Brandon, we love you. We believe in you. Can you produce for us today? Because if not, I got guys on my bench who can. Like, I know it's been a while, but Harrison Bader has produced before. Jeff McNeil has produced before. Luis Angel Acuna, it was only about 35 seconds. That's what she said. But he's produced before. So those are the tough discussions that Mendy's got to figure out. Let's go to G in Westchester. What's up, G?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Not bad, but not good either.
All right. Hey, before I get into the polar bear in the room, hey, listen, Evan, they also sell warmers at Citi Field. It's called beer.
He had me fooled for a second. I was like, where are those warmers? Oh, beer. Good point.
All right. So, look, as far as Alonso, you know, I love that guy. I really do. It's like, you know, he's like, you know, the big dude that, you know, he always brought to the party that no one wanted to talk to. He kind of reminds me of him. But, man, I don't know. So, I watch baseball, Evan, the way you do. TK, it's a little bit different with you, I think.
Right.
But you know, I'm watching these at-bats, you know, like in hockey. I watch off the puck. Mm-hmm. I like to see what the defensemen are doing. So the whole league, every pitcher in this league now knows that Alonso will not swing at the first pitch. And when that is right down the pipe, right down the middle, their next two pitches are curveballs or whatever it is, changeups, outside of the zone, and he goes fishing every single time. Okay? I mean, you would think that the hitting coach would be like, hey, look, Pete, you know, get up there and just hit the damn ball. Because every pitch last night, his first pitch was right down the middle, and he just looked at every single one of them.
Yeah, it happened in, I think, three of his four at-bats where the first pitch was right there and Pete took it. He's been very kind of passive in that regard. There were two at-bats, or maybe it was one at-bat. I'd have to look it up, where he took the first pitch and it was a ball. But Pete also came very close to my eyes. Maybe he had a different vantage point on TV. But in that third inning, that 0-2 pitch he got a sweeper down. I thought he golfed it out. I thought off the bat, wow, we're going to get another Pete Alonso moment. He's about to hit a two-run home run, and the ball was just dying out there. And unfortunately, the Mets had a few of those last night. Lindor hit one of the warning track. It died. Vientos really hit the crap out of one in the fifth inning against Michael Kopech. That died. But in Pete's case, look, I think he's been very selective. And you're right. We've noticed a trend where Alonso is very selective on that first pitch. And if you're the Dodgers, you got to attack
him. I mean, it's only a bad thing if people start taking advantage of it. Like, if you don't fear that he's going to swing and you can get him down in the count just by throwing a strike, then he's got to change his M.O.
So looking back,
he's got to self-scout. I mean, everybody does that at some point.
Looking back at last night, he had four plate appearances. He didn't swing at any of the first pitches. Two of them were strikes. Two of them were balls. Mm-hmm. So there was a 50% rate to that last night. Met fans, more from you coming up. But Yankee fans, Aaron Boone has decided to make a major lineup change going into Game 3 against the Cleveland Guardians. We discuss it, plus the conspiracy theory against the Mets. There's a lot to do as we take you right up until the Yankee pregame show. Coming up at about 4:25. Before we get to this Yankee lineup change, there is a major conspiracy going on between Major League Baseball and Fox. Did you see? I put this out on social media about an hour ago. I don't know if anyone wants to reveal where I got this information from because it's very, very private. Wink, wink. But I received a text message from an unnamed person that said, quote, "So someone close to me works for like a shipping container mobilization unit. The networks rent from them for big events. They got a call at 8 a.m. from Fox and their account canceling their Citi Field order for the World Series while greenlighting their Yankee Stadium and Dodger Stadium orders for full charge. In history of the company and these events, the networks have never, ever done this before with only two wins by a team in a series." Mm. How about that?
Wow. Very interesting. Script. You got the script?
The script. Well, here's what I would tell you.
I want to do a deep dive, though. I saw the screenshot. The letter M was next. Whoever sent that has a letter M involved.
Who do you think? Mendy? You think
it was maybe. I don't know.
Mark? Maybe Mark Chertoff sent the email
possibly,
or the text message?
I don't know.
Maybe my friend Mike? Maybe my friend, maybe Mark Melly. You know Mark Melly?
General, I don't know.
The former chief of staff, whatever the hell his title was. Yeah, me and Joe Beningo and Mark Melly, we're all friends. We all on a group chat. Actually, not really. We just met him about five times, and he used to bust our balls.
Nice.
So maybe it's Melly. Millie's got a lot to say.
Yeah. I would just say whoever the letter M represents also saw receipts knowing this proof. So that's all I would say.
Really? Mm. So this M saw the receipts that Fox decided to very arrogantly do something they've never done before, which is
call the series basically after two wins.
Yeah. They're like calling an election at 7:45 at night. That's what they're doing.
It's over.
And what I would do is, if I'm Carlos Mendoza, and I hope this information falls into the hands of Carlos Mendoza.
Ooh, M. Manfred.
Manfred. Yeah, maybe Rob's just texting me. I think the kids like to say this on social media. Wouldn't it be a shame if information like this went viral? Wouldn't it be a shame if all of a sudden in the locker room before game four of the NLCS, the Mets saw what we've all heard on TV for the last few days, and that is Fox is begging to their gods and saviors that they get a Yankee-Dodger World Series. And I don't mean any ill will towards Yankee fans here. You've done nothing wrong. You're up 2-0. You guys should be confident. But canceling the Citi Field order because the Dodgers went up 2-1, would be a damn shame if Francisco Lindor.
That sounds like motivation to me. That sounds like great motivation.
It does. It sounds like a perfect story on the video.
Let me ruin your plans.
Yes.
MLB.
Yeah.
Maybe Grimace just fat fingered something and that's how they canceled.
That's what I mean. Maybe the M is the moose in the Grimace.
We don't care if the rest of the country is not going to watch the Subway World Series.
And they won't.
We'll watch.
And they won't. And that's okay. Like, the Mets-Yankees won't get a huge rating. Dodgers-Yankees is probably the highest-rated possible World Series. And there's a very good chance we get it.
Especially because of the stars. I mean, obviously the teams, the stars on the teams.
It's a combination of everything. It's the stars on the team. I think Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani are the two biggest stars in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. I think they're number one and two. And then you've got two iconic franchises with a great history against each other that goes all the way back to the 40s. Like, it's awesome. I mean, it's not awesome for me because I'm a Met fan in the NLCS, but I can take a step back and say, wow, that's awesome. I know why Fox wants it. But, yeah, it'd be a damn shame if the Mets saw all this information and used it as, I don't know, a little bulletin board material.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm-mm. Now, speaking of the New York Yankees, they play game three today against the Cleveland Guardians, a rare afternoon game. First time they're playing in the afternoon during this postseason. Clark Schmidt is on the mound against Matthew Boyd. And Matthew Boyd is one of those guys, one of those lefties, that can give the Yankees trouble. Yankees have had troubles against left-handers throughout the season. And I get that, and I understand that. But I kindly disagree with Aaron Boone overthinking it. Because Aaron Boone made two lineup changes today against the left-hander Matthew Boyd that personally I'm not a huge fan of.
Yeah, with that, Evan, the Yankees starting lineups are brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it.
Here's the lineup, and then we can respond to it. Gleyber Torres leading off at second base, no problem. Mm-hmm. Juan Soto batting second and right, great. Oh,
as always.
Aaron Judge bats third and center.
Chalk.
Giancarlo Stanton moved up to the cleanup spot. Something I've been a proponent of, so yeah, it's great. Jazz Chisholm bats fifth to third base. John Birdie is at first base batting sixth, back in the lineup after playing pretty well at first base against Kansas City. Anthony Volpe at short, Alex Verdugo in left, and we welcome back Jose Trevino behind the plate batting ninth for Clark Schmidt. So two things. I like John Birdie. John Birdie looked very solid at first base.
Right.
The time he was over there, I want Anthony Rizzo on the field as much as possible. He is a world champion. He is a part of a team that broke the ultimate curse in all of sports. He's looked very good since he's come back from the IL. I'm not afraid of Matthew Boyd if I'm Anthony Rizzo. I think that's overthinking the lefty situation way too much. And it's not that Birdie's bad. Again, Birdie played really well filling in at first base. It's more, I want Anthony Rizzo on the field at all times. So let's start there. Your thoughts on that decision.
I'm wondering if this has anything to do with what Boone said after game one, that he had a physical, mental, emotional something, like wear and tear, and that's why he pulled him from the game. I'm wondering if it has something to do with that. Mm. Because honestly, I agree with you, Evan. It doesn't make any sense. Aaron Boone's MO is, I have veterans, and I'm going to play those veterans because they have experience,
right,
and that experience is going to help them in the moments that matter to decide the outcome of this game. The only thing I could think of is that he's getting, other thing that I would think of is he's getting confident that this game is, or this series is already won. Like, they have the advantage.
No, no.
I'm just saying. In
you
my
can't
mind,
manage that
we,
way.
We have the advantage. Let me get a rest day for Rizzo.
He just had an off day.
I agree, but I don't know why else you would do this.
So full context, here's what Tiki was referring to. After game one, Anthony Rizzo came out of the game in the final inning or two innings. I think it was the final inning.
Right.
And when Aaron Boone was asked about why Rizzo came out,
because
he said
we didn't
this.
See anything in the game.
That's correct. Here's what Aaron said.
He was just kind of physically and emotionally spent there late in the game, and I kind of felt like... Yeah. Kind of just felt like I needed to get him out of there and want to make sure I'm managing this properly with him as we go through this. Because, you know, he really hasn't been on the field in over 2 weeks. But, you know, came through good with the hand. Expect him in there tomorrow. And thought he had some really good at-bats.
Maybe he had a setback and he's just not saying anything.
Yeah, my guess is he's overthinking it. He's just overthinking the lefty-lefty, righty-righty thing. Anthony Rizzo, obviously, as a left-hand hitter, has always been more productive against righties, but his numbers don't dip. They don't dip to some kind of crazy level. I still trust him out there defensively more, especially with the experience he has. This is not one of those scream and yell, you're an idiot moves. This isn't J.D. Martinez versus Jesse Winker. It's just a move I disagree with. I would want Anthony Rizzo out there as often as humanly possible.
We could see Rizzo in this game in a third or fourth inning.
Of course we can.
And that's probably why Birdie's also batting sixth. I think the moment that you get the lefty out of there, Rizzo's coming in this game.
No, I think you're probably right about that. I'm just saying, like, to me, I would start Rizzo. The Guardians have three lefties in their bullpen, so it's not as if once Boyd comes out, there won't be another situation where a lefty's in. Do you disagree, by the way, Sean?
I don't, put it this way, I actually dislike Trevino playing more than I dislike Birdie playing more in this spot.
But do you dislike Birdie playing over Rizzo, or it doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter. It's indifferent, okay. Because, by the way, I'm okay with giving Rizzo any amount of time when he needs it off, still coming back from these broken fingers. And I go back to the division series. Anthony Rizzo, I love, and he's obviously proven his bat is still there. The Yankees didn't lose anything in the division series at first base with the Birdie Cabrera platoon. So it's not a crazy, crazy fall off.
Yeah, I think to me it's more... Anthony Rizzo is one of the rare guys in the Yankee batting order who's a champion. Yeah, he's done it before. And there's something about him. I felt this way when they acquired him a few years ago. And maybe it's the aura of being on that specific team, the 2016 Cup team. There's something about him in a big spot. I trust him. I believe in him. And so, again, it's not end of the world, you're an idiot kind of move. It's more, hey, if it's me, I just want him out there every day. As long as he's healthy, I'd want Anthony Rizzo playing first base.
No doubt about it. The other side of this, and I know Wells has not been hitting lefties at all, I'm very worried that when Cleveland gets on the base pads, they're going to run wild on Trevino.
So your big issue, because that's the other decision that was made, Austin Wells has not hit over the last few games. There is a lefty on the mound. Though, when they faced Cole Reagans in the Kansas City series, Austin Wells played.
Yeah.
So it's not like this is the first time the Yankees are facing a left-hander.
I come back to, ironically, the same argument you made about Alvarez in the first part of this. Could Trevino, you know, give you a decent at-bat and rip a single where Wells didn't tonight? Absolutely. It's been a while. I'm sorry. I've seen enough of Trevino where those stolen bases added up in big spots this year. I know it's not Stroman on the mound. It's Clark Schmidt. I am worried Jose Ramirez gets on that they're going to run, and that could create another run on Trevino or against the Yankees. That's the difference tonight.
Yeah.
I would just leave it alone. Move Wells down in the order then. He doesn't have to hit cleanup.
It's funny. I'm confirming this to be true, and I just did. This is why I score all the games, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Wells has two hits in the postseason. He's got two. They both happened in the division series. Both of those hits against left-handed pitching.
Bam!
Bang! Obviously not a huge sample size. I think that, like, I made the argument the other day that I wanted Giancarlo to hit cleanup. And I think that's a great move by Aaron Boone. I think he should stick with this. Lefty, righty, doesn't matter. I think what you got to do when you have such a locked-in guy in Stanton and you've got Soto and Judge hitting back-to-back, I do not want to give any rotation a break.
Right.
And Austin Wells,
jump on him.
He's like a break in a weird way.
Well,
compared to Giancarlo and Aaron Judge.
Compared to Giancarlo in the postseason, it's a break. But in the regular season, Austin Wells was exactly what you wanted in your playoff spot.
He was great for a period of time.
He hasn't been that in the postseason, obviously. What are you talking about?
But it is a break. Like, think about it.
Without a doubt, it is now. But again, you hope he comes back to what his best self is in the postseason.
Yeah.
Not all guys do that, though. It's a different level of pressure.
I would play Austin Wells. I'm with you, Sean. I think sometimes we get too nuts about the lefty stuff.
This feels like overthinking. It does.
I don't think we need to overthink. The Yankees are in command of this series. They're up 2-0. Go play your guys. Play the guys that brung you. And Anthony Rizzo, I know, maybe didn't necessarily bring them with the season that he had.
Well, neither did John Birdie Mitchell here.
That's right. John Birdie didn't bring him either. Are you optimistic going into Game 3, Sean?
I very much am. I think you get six really good innings from Clark Schmidt. Won't be shutout innings, but I think the Yankees are going to score another like six runs.
I have to ask you a question, and this is such an arrogant question. And so I want to be careful how I explain this, because you take nothing for granted in this sport. This series is not over.
No,
it's an important game. It's Game 3 of the ALCS. The Yankee series is not over. The Mets series is not over. So I just want to be very careful as I pose a question that I think is a good question, which is there any concern if they win tonight, they're going to wrap this thing up way too quick, and then you're going to have way too much time off, which has affected teams in the past?
I mean, but didn't you feel like that going into the Royal Series?
Yeah.
It just felt like, man, you haven't played in a while, man.
Yeah, but I felt like the fans lost more momentum than the team actually did.
True, But when the fan... I don't want to overinflate like the fan voice in New York, but I feel like we didn't talk about the Yankees for 2 weeks.
I felt that way, dude.
The Mets played 10 games between the
Yankees. It's true. That was part of the problem. So the Yankees are off for a week. Meanwhile, the Mets are playing like five insane games.
Here's what I think helps. Number one, the bullpen that's been so dynamite, I think it's great shutting them down for a week. Also, like we just brought up, what a few more days for Anthony Rizzo off with those fingers, not help drastically too. While, by the way, the Mets and Dodgers could beat up on each other, and if it is the Dodgers, let Freddie Freeman's ankle fall off before the World Series. I'm good with that.
You know, it's funny. So in 2015, the Mets were in that spot. They swept the Chicago Cubs, and there was a longish series between Kansas City and Toronto. And we talked about this. Yeah. Hey, is it a problem? Now, looking back on it, you can look back and say, hey, it really hurt them the way it hurt the Rockies in 2007. But in the moment, I will give you the same answer I said about the Mets, and I'll say it about the Yankees. Just win the freaking series, okay?
Right.
I'll take the rest. I'll take the bullpen getting a break, and I'll take the risk that maybe you're flat because you haven't played in a week. Because that's a lot better than sweating out a 6 or 7 game series against a very dangerous team. So my answer to the question that I posed to you guys is, no, I'm not worried. Sweep their asses.
Yeah, I want to pop champagne tomorrow. Let's go.
Damn right.
Also, Jack Curry, 38 minutes ago, Boone said Birdie is starting at first and Trevino a catcher because of the lefty. Once Boyd is replaced, Jack Curry's expectation, Wells and Rizzo will both be in the game.
No, and I think that's to be expected. Now, keep in mind, the Guardians have three lefties in their bullpen, so you can replace them immediately when Cade Smith is in the game, but they still may end up having to face a lefty later. And for that reason, that's why I'm like, why would I even mess around? I would just start both guys.
And always dangerous to do that with the catcher, too, because you never know.
Yeah, you put yourself in a tricky spot in case somebody gets hurt. You don't have a third guy. Let's go to John in Garden City. How you doing today, John?
How you doing? First of all, Rizzo is 2-for-3 against Class A, so keep that in your pocket if he wants to slide him into a spot late in the game. And I think the Indians have made a mistake not getting their closer in just for even a little work, get his feet wet.
Maybe.
That's one
fair
thing.
Maybe.
Number two, I don't want to burst your bubble, Evan, but they're really dissing the Indians, not the, the Guardians. And I'm going to tell you why. The Yankees and Mets play in the same series, so they could move that thing across town, that production thing. They're not dissing the Mets. They're saying, we know the Guardians are going to lose, and now I'm not going to touch the money and say that as a Yankee fan. But I think that's what's going on. No, also,
that's not what's happening. First of all, John, I appreciate you trying to be rational, but no, that's not what's going on. Fox and MLB are disrespecting the Mets, and the Mets should know about this so they can use it as bulletin board material. Stop bursting our bubble,
two more small things.
Yes.
Number one, the jersey you wear is so in front of your face. I don't know how you're not seeing it. You ask your partner for a Virginia College jersey, and you rock the Tiki Barber jersey because, you know, this way you go in supporting your partner.
That's
the jersey you should wear to the game.
It's a great call.
And the last
great
thing
call,
is,
John.
I really, really hope. Look, I'd like the Yankees to be home for the four games, which means the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think going to Dodger Stadium, if they get there, keeping my fingers crossed.
Sure.
It's warm. It's better for the older players, for the Yankees. Judge can exercise that ghost from out in right field there when he banged his foot. And I feel like the karma might be better. I think the Mets fans and the Mets as an opponent are going to be so much more invested in this. And so much of a tougher opponent because of the environment.
That's a very interesting point. And so let's answer this. Forget the Mets fan perspective. I'm going to be an IBO in answering this because the Mets are down 2-1, and no Met fan should be examining a World Series opponent. You're foolish if you are. Yankees are up 2-0. You're feeling good. You're getting set for a game three. I understand kind of eyeing the side view. What I would tell you is if the New York Yankees play the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series, and the reason I know this is I asked this question in August. I asked it to Sean. I asked it to Yankee fans. I said, hey, guys, just curious. What's a successful season? I don't know if you remember that discussion, Sean, but we had it.
We have a lot of discussions.
But the difference between you and I is I remember all of them. But I asked, and you may not have been here that day, T, because we were all taking vacation. But I said, all right, what's a successful season? And I respected what Sean said. He said, look, they got to get to a World Series.
Get to.
If they lose to the Dodgers specifically, it would suck, but I understand. You know, they still got to the World Series. They lost to the betting favorites. I'd be disappointed, but it's very tough to call it a failure in losing to the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Especially after they spent $500 million.
100%. Beat you for Yamamoto.
Yep. Ohtani.
Totally get it, right? And I think that still stands. Like, if we are analyzing the Yankees losing a World Series to the Dodgers, they'll be angry Yankee fans, but it's tough to walk away from that and say, what a disaster! If you lose to the Mets, and it doesn't matter the roster, and it doesn't matter the magic, you can't live with that.
Fire everyone.
And so, I get where he's coming from, that there may be, and for the players, a more carefree, hey, we're in the World Series, let's see what we can do, versus lose to the Mets.
Right, we're the dog also.
Yes.
It's easier to play if you're the underdog.
And I think they would be.
Because it feels like you're being disrespected even though you're not.
Right.
It's just the reality of how you approach it when the other team is supposed to beat you.
And look, I know Jeter said this, and 2000 is very different than 2024. I acknowledge that. Jeter said, boy, this was like we had everything to lose. We can't lose to the Mets. I think there's some similarities to that, even 24 years later. So, yeah, if you're analyzing an opponent and you're taking out the emotions of going to every game or making fun of your friends or how sweet it would feel to beat them, there is a lot more to lose in playing the Mets than the Dodgers. And players may feel that. Aaron Judge may feel that, knowing, Oh my God, I can't on my Yankee legacy have losing the Subway World Series. Losing to the Dodgers would suck, but it's also happened.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And by the way, I watched last night with my gut telling me, root for the Mets. You want the Mets in the World Series. And not to say the Mets couldn't beat the Yankees, just because that's the case. You want the team that you feel like is the better match.
And by the way, I don't think that's trolling to say, yeah, I think the Dodgers are better. Bring on the Mets. Like, I get that. I mean,
it could be Dodgers Diamondbacks, and I would say the same thing about the Diamondbacks.
They still got to get there. So calm yourself.
Yeah,
who, the Yankees?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we're there, T.
If they lose today, would you get nervous?
Nah. I would be annoyed that I put the broom video out and they didn't sweep, but no, I wouldn't get nervous.
If they lose today and tomorrow, would you get nervous?
Talk to me tomorrow when that
happens. Okay. No, I'm just curious. You got one hell of a day here on WFAN. Matinee Yankee playoff baseball, the pregame show in less than an hour. A 5:08 first pitch from what I still call Jacobs Field as the Cleveland, now Guardians, take on the New York Yankees in Game 3 of the American League Championship Series. More thoughts on what the Yankees have to do to take a commanding 3-0 lead. But it is Thursday, and because of the Yankees, we went into heavy negotiations, and we did secure an early visit from the ever-popular Bad Tiki. And Bad Tiki is, of course, brought to you by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com, and come get some. Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being and not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Welcome back, Bad Tiki.
Don't give me that welcome back, Bad Tiki nonsense, Evan. Huh. How can you pretend to be all happy and normal when you know there is a catastrophe on the horizon? Batten down the hatches.
Wait, what are you talking about, Bad Tiki? You alluding to the Mets? They're only down 2-1, man. This series is far from over.
Not so fast, Positive Tiki. You sound pathetic. Almost as pathetic as whiny, constipated Tommy. But no, I am not talking about the Mets. This inevitable disaster is much bigger than anyone is expecting. This weekend is going to be so bad, the color green might be outlawed in the tri-state area forever.
Oh, I agree with you, Bad Tiki. The Jets aren't looking too hot, and green is ugly anyway.
Shut it, Slobber De Niro. You should be the most worried about what is coming. Oh. Marash, you especially will not survive this cataclysmic event, and I hate to say it, but this might even be the end for Bad Tiki. Bad Tiki out for good, R.I.P. Bad Deed Tiki.
Well, what is it, Bad Tiki? What's coming?
Great question, Evan. It's the return of New York's most hated son himself, Saquon Barkley. Board up the windows. Secure the outdoor furniture. Don't turn your back for a second. Hurricane Saquon is coming to MetLife Stadium, running for the hills.
Oh, come on, Bad Tiki. The Giants have shown they can play some defense. So what if Saquon is just another football game?
Wrong, regular Tiki. Fake Quan Backstabbly is going to run wild in East Rutherford. Someone stop him. Hide the women and children. Quick, Michelle Scaly C. Come get some. Backstab Quan loserly knocked out the power grid. Stock up on emergency supplies. Buy all the toilet paper at Costco. Hurry, buy all the chicken bakes. Buy the double chunk chocolate cookies. That gets a boom. The humanity.
Bad Tiki, I have to side with regular Tiki here. The Eagles look terrible, and Saquon is soft. The G-men are going to beat this team.
You're right, Sean. If you man up and eat Saquon Barkley before he has a chance to touch the ball, the Giants have a chance to lose by only 40. Remember when he was dead to us, regular Tiki? Those were the good old days. Now he's coming to kill us all, and it's all your fault. I hope you're happy with what you've done, regular big mouth Tiki.
Stop it, Bad Tiki. What do you think, he's going to have some like career day or something like that?
Evan, I did the calculations. That little liar, pants on fire, is going to have 80 carries for 900 yards and 21 touchdowns. You'll be lucky if New York doesn't sink after sack fraud is done stomping a mud hole in the Giants. Hop aboard the Bad Tiki rescue boat. I'm a great swimmer. Tall, great swimmer, Bad Tiki, to the rescue.
Bad Tiki, I respectfully, I have to disagree. You're making this too big of a deal now.
How about this for a big deal? My friends in Canton have already reserved a spot for pre-Tenquan Barkley's bust after this game. By the way, Tiki, they said it's the last one for running backs. Can you believe that? They already asked me to speak at the induction ceremony. I'm honored.
Okay, we get it. You think he's going to destroy the Giants, but why do you keep calling him all these weird names, man?
Excellent question, Evan. While he is going to break the backs of the Giants and all of their fans, the fact of the matter is, the man is a slippery little snake. What he did to Giants fans is reprehensible and, frankly, cowardly. Mythquan Barkley is delusional if he thinks the fans won't boo him. I will personally be there with my 30,000 tikis to give him a warm MetLife welcome. Boo! Boo! You, Saquon! Cheesesteaks suck! Philly sucks! We wish you didn't leave. We are so sorry! Don't hurt us, Saquon! Please! Please come back. I need a hug, Saquon. Wah! I miss you.
Oh, man, Bad Tiki. I see what's happening. Are you okay, bro? Do you need a minute, man?
Shut up, Evan. I've had enough of you and all your questions. Don't you have a Rico Bronier podcast to do while you don't pay attention to the Road You Freak show? Anyway, I have to go now. Thanks for wasting my time again. You're dead to me. You're all dead to me. I'll see you in court. Bad Tiki out.
Court? Court? What does that mean?
That kind of scares me. Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of the Real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment and engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. And I guess we'll hear from him next Thursday in his normal slot, which is 4:30. By the way, tomorrow, and we will do this right around, I'd say, let's go with 5:08. That seems like a perfect time to do this. We will all unveil our official Saquon Barkley versus the New York Giants predictions. Mm-hmm. Now, we already heard from Bad Tiki. I think he said 90 carries for 800 yards. I'm going to take the under on that. But is that even mathematically possible?
No, it was 80 carries for 900 yards.
Oh, I got it backwards.
And 21 touchdowns.
That's what it was.
Hey, listen, if Dexter Lawrence doesn't play, it's on the table.
At what point in that game would you leave, Sean?
If I didn't have a suite, probably in the first quarter.
Would you have left the Met game last night?
Would I?
Yeah.
If I were a Met fan or just in general?
Yeah.
No, I don't like big games. I got to see everything out to the end.
See, I Tommy was there, and Tommy deserves credit. He stayed the entire game. He weirdly sat behind me and didn't say anything, but that's okay.
No, I did say something to you.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
What'd you say?
You texted our group chat, has positive Tommy left early.
Correct, I did say that.
And then I texted you back. Turn around.
Yeah, that's weird.
No, it's not.
We need to have a conversation about that. That is really weird to tell someone to turn around.
Did you not know he was right behind you?
I did not know he was right behind me.
Yes, he did, because...
No, I didn't. I swear. No. I did not know you were behind me. What I said was, when I saw that text message, is I said, that's a weird statement.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'm not looking around. I'm going to stare at the carnage on the field until this game is over. Because I always find it weird. It's a pet peeve of mine. You're not the only one. When people are like, hey, stand up and wave. I'm right over here. And it's like, do we really need to do this? It's awkward. So when he said, I'm right behind you, I thought he was behind me like in the press box or behind me standing in the last row. I did not know until the game was over that he was literally sitting right behind me.
Like the row behind you?
Yes! What a freak!
The fella, nice guy, listener to the station, left a little early, but it was 19.
They all left a little early!
Yeah, and the trains were still packed, by the way. The subways were a nightmare. And then I said, turn around, he didn't. And then when the game ended, I didn't even get a goodbye. Evan just like muttered something under his breath to me and then left.
No, I did not. You know what I said to him?
What'd you say?
I
couldn't even hear you.
I said, wow, you stayed the whole game. You deserve a lot of credit. And then I left. What was I supposed to, hold your hand?
No, but I think there's a little bit of like, you know, hey man, see you tomorrow.
No. I'll tell you
why. Hey, this is my dad. You know,
you've already met my dad. He doesn't like you, so why make things awkward?
Oh, wow.
I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. You've already met him. And by the way, after the Mets lost 8-0, I'm sorry. I'm not in the mood for any pleasantries, especially from someone I see every day.
It's just a game, Evan.
Don't do this.
You wouldn't even turn around and say hello.
Now, I have bigger issues with that.
Why do I need to say hello? We're at work together every day. What is it, special that I see you outside of work? Why?
Yes.
Why?
It's a special occasion. It's the Mets.
I just saw them 2 hours earlier.
NLCS.
But we just looked at each other for 4.5 hours. Now I got to go like we haven't seen each other in years.
Casual conversation.
I think Evan should have just muttered, not so positive now, are you? That would be nice. By the way, I just want to rewind 90 seconds. You said, I find it so dopey when people call, hey, look up, look behind you.
Wait. Correct.
You hate that, right?
Yeah.
Tiki, do you remember what he was doing to us in Philly when we were in the suite and we first arrived?
That's right.
I did do that. Damn
where
it.
Where are you?
You hypocrite.
You're playing by your own set of rules. Wave.
You're right. You're right. You know why I did that, though? There was a reason behind that. So, Lugie and I were sitting upstairs in Philadelphia for Knicks Sixers game 6. And Tiki and Sean were in a suite.
Mm-hmm.
I love, like, I take it as a badge of honor. And I think Lugie does, too. I take it as a badge of honor that we're regular guys. We're sitting here in the upper deck, and we're cool.
Yeah.
Whatever they call that section. So I wanted you to wave so I could take a picture of how bougie you two were and then put it out on social media.
Hey,
so it wasn't really I need to wave to you. It was more I need to see you so I could take a picture.
Don't discredit the way me and Tiki live our lives.
I think it's great that you live your lives that way. Like, that's fine. I don't want to do that. I want to sit upstairs in the upper deck.
Okay.
I want to hang out with all those loser Knicks fans. It was a lot of fun.
Sure. Tell us anything.
All I know is, I'll say this again, it's Thursday. And I'll be very polite about this. And this goes to you, Teak. This goes to you, Sean. Does not go to Tommy. The Knicks did their jobs. The Metsies did their jobs. Are the New York Giants going to put the big boy pants on and do their job Sunday at MetLife Stadium? Because the entire city is relying on you to keep up the tradition,
Evan,
started by the Knicks. I get kudos. Continued by the Mets. And finished by the New York Football Giants.
A wise person on this show once said, I think it's important for one of us on the show to always be at some of these big events.
I said that. That's true.
To steal a line from Positive Tommy. Giants fans, I'm coming to the Swamp on Sunday, and I will lead us. We're finishing this job. Andrew Thomas be damned.
You better do it, man. I'm just warning you. Better get it done. We'll make our picks for tonight's Thursday night football game in just a few minutes, plus a lot more thoughts on the Yankees and the big debate amongst Met fans. Should Francisco Alvarez play after his disastrous game last night and really his disastrous playoff run? Let's go to Eric in Garfield. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Evan and Tiki, how's it going, guys?
All good.
Evan, big fan. Tiki, thanks for all the Giants memories.
Appreciate it, bud.
Evan, also, thank you for letting us know not to to give you a high five if it's cold out. We know how you keep your hands warm.
That's a good point.
Hey, shake your hand, man. Nah, never mind. I'm good. Fist pound.
Yeah, I'm good, Evan. I'll just wait. But two quick points. I mean, I think how we got here for the Mets is that Mendoza and Stearns were always quick to pull the trigger on guys who weren't performing. You saw it all year long. They DFA guys, they would start, you know, guys like Iglesias from the minors. And I feel like now that it's playoffs, they owe, they feel like they owe these guys playing time. I think this leads to McNeil. I mean, I feel like he should be starting right now at this point. Iglesias has not been hitting. But I think the biggest thing for me is Alvarez. I don't think anybody is talking about how terrible the run game has been for the opponents against us. I mean, it feels like Little League, anybody can double steal, anybody can steal a base. And I don't know how much of that is on the pitchers. I know some of our pitchers are not the
a
best.
A lot of it is. A lot of it is on the pitching, yes.
But, I mean, at that point, I feel like having Torrens there, if Alvarez is not hitting, I know that you said Quintana is pitches well with him, but when it hasn't come back to bite us yet, but I'm telling you, it's going to happen in the series where there's going to be a double steal with two outs and there's going to be a little bloop single and it's going to be two runs. And it's going to be the reason why.
Absolutely a fair concern that the run game is a very dangerous thing that teams have taken advantage of against the Mets. And could very well happen with Shohei Ohtani, who stole how many bases this year? The weird thing going on with Shohei, it's such a weird, odd phenomenon that he's on this streak where when he comes up with nobody on base, he can't get a hit.
Yeah.
He's like, what is it now, 0 for his last, like, 20 or something like that with nobody on base? But then when he comes up with guys on base, he's freaking automatic.
Right.
It's really, really, really strange. And the reason I bring that up is because of his point. Ohtani is a threat to steal bases, but if he's not getting on base with nobody on,
he's not.
Then there's no threat because he's not in position to steal a base. I think all of the critiques on Alvarez are completely fair. But the thing y'all are missing is that while it's all fair about the run game, and it's all fair about how lost he looked at the plate, and it's all fair about the over-aggressiveness defensively, like we saw yesterday, like when he trucked Severino, or maybe it wasn't Severino, it was about 5 games ago, trucked someone else on a ground ball that was right in front of the plate, I still believe that tonight, the priority needs to be maximizing the best out of Jose Quintana.
Well, I mean, that's your most direct way to winning, is keeping the score low. And giving your Mets, meaning a chance to win the game, whatever, in every way they find a way to do it. It's been heroically a lot of these you know, last 4 or 5 wins, and that's kind of troubling, and it should tell you something, and really probably be a warning, because it's so hard to do that over and over
it
and
is.
Over
it
and
is.
Over and over again. It's better if you can manufacture big innings. You know, they trickle in 1 or 2 runs, and then it turns into 6. It's harder to just hit dramatic home runs the way that the Mets have done it.
It's also harder to do it against the Dodgers. Like, it's one thing to hold other teams down and keep it 1-0 or 2-0 till the 6th or 7th inning. But as you saw last night, they were able to keep it 2-0 till the 6th. And then finally, and of all guys, it's the 9th place hitter who's this automatic clutch player, and he's behind in the count, and it's one mistake, and all of a sudden, it ain't 2-0 anymore. And a part of why you put yourself in a position for that to happen is because they didn't score any runs. If you track out a run or two and it's a 2-2 game, it's a lot different.
Right.
That home run certainly could still be a game winner, but 4-0 felt like they were down by 10 runs. That's the way it felt when he went
deep. Especially because they just weren't productive. They just weren't getting on base, and they weren't being... Well, they were getting on base, but they weren't taking advantage of getting on base.
They were doing that early in the game. They got on base in the second when they had bases loaded one out. They got on base in the third when they had 2 on and 2 out. But then in the 4th and 5th inning, they did nothing. And then they had another great opportunity in the 6th. That was right after the Kiki Hernandez home run. And Jose Iglesias bounced into a double play, which was another killer moment in this game. Because at 4-0, bottom of the 6th, 2-1, nobody out, well, you're a base hit away from making it a game again. And unfortunately, Iglesias, who's really struggled offensively, bounced into that double play. Steven is in Harlem. Good afternoon, Steven.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Man, hard to get on here when everyone's in the CS. I want to jump on real quick. Evan, I think you really misquoted Jeter. He didn't say, you know, there's everything to lose when playing the Mets. He said, there's no way we're going to lose. This is the Mets.
isn't that
now,
the same thing,
I do
though?
Agree. I do agree 2024 is different. And for the last few weeks, I've been trying to get on and just tell everybody, be careful what you wish for. Everyone at this point is super dangerous. I mean, if you want to take the Guardians outside of that list, that's fine. But, I mean, starting with probably a week or two ago, every day's a sweat, and these things change on a dime. But I think everyone should really enjoy this, and 2024 is a lot different than 2000. I think it would be a lot more competitive no matter who the Yankees play.
I think it would be a lot more competitive, and you're not facing, like, a dynasty on the line. Like, if you think about it, not that that would shortchange the dynasty. But having won the title in 96, 98, and 99, I think there would have been something, too. If you lose in 2000 to the Mets, not that it wipes away the great accomplishments of 3 world championships, but it would have put a major dark cloud over that dynasty. Is that not fair to say, Sean?
Yeah, it definitely would.
Okay, good. I'm not speaking out of turn.
No, of course. That would have been the worst.
And that's where there was so much on the line in a World Series like that. And honestly, everything should be on the line anyway. Like, one thing I feel strongly about with the Mets, and I hope we're not having this discussion in a few days, but I know we may, is there is going to be people, just like they did with the Knicks, who after the Mets season ends, if they don't win a World Series, they're gonna clap. They're going to applaud. They're going to say, thank you. I had fun. And while I get it, it was fun, and it was surprising, and all of that, it's a missed opportunity. And you don't know when you're going to get back. And for anyone, especially you, Teak, who thinks I have agendas one way or the other, I'm going to say the exact same thing I said to New York Knicks fans when you celebrated losing in the second round. I'm pissed off, and I don't know if I'm ever going to come back. And I said that to Knicks fans. You didn't want to listen to me. I'm just a hater.
But you can't
I'll say it about the Mets, too.
You can't feel that way about the Mets.
Of course I can.
How?
Because you don't know when you're going to have the magic again. You don't know when you're going to have everything working your way. You don't know.
But it's not a... I mean, yes, it's magic. But magic is like BS. It's nonsense. It's just it's a created explanation for guys playing good baseball in moments and guys being clutch. It's not magic. It's hard-ass work. It almost is a disservice and a discount to how hard it is to do what they do, to say, oh, this is magical, it's preordained, it's fate, it's blah, blah, blah nonsense. These guys worked their asses off to be at this spot, especially after how they started. And it wasn't just play, it was like emotional fortitude and belief in themselves. So to chalk it up to magic is stupid to me.
So what do you want to call it?
Building a good team.
What do you want to call the Diamondbacks last year then? What do you want to call them?
Got hot at the right time.
Okay.
Right? It's not magic. It's just you get hot.
That's
and so,
fine.
And so to sit here and believe that the Mets, if they don't win the World Series or get to at least get to the World Series this year, that they're, we're not going to see that again. I think that's We haven't seen David Stearns do anything yet.
I'm not telling you that they won't. I'm telling you that you don't know if they will. The Philadelphia Phillies.
I'd put money on it. They'd get back to the NLCS after what we saw this season.
You may be right,
especially with how the moves that David Stearns made, like these little moves that nobody thought were anything. Right? Who the hell is Jose Iglesias? Who the hell is Jesse Winker? Like, why do we want those guys?
So why do you assume that'll happen again?
Because he's a smart baseball man.
How many times did the Brewers get to the NLCS?
How much money did the Brewers have?
No, they didn't have
how much money did the Brewers spend?
But money doesn't guarantee
it. How many times do they have Francisco Alvarez or Pete Alonso, even though he might not be here next year? Kodai Senga. How many times did they go get that
guy? Are the Dodgers
guy?
In the World Series every year?
Yeah, but they spend a billion freaking dollars.
That's my point. I'm countering your point with money. Like, my point to you is it doesn't guarantee you anything. And if you don't want to call it magic, that's fine, because you're right. Magic implies they aren't doing something special.
Right.
They're doing something special, but I think when you have an opportunity, like the 2015 Mets did, or the 2023 Diamondbacks did, you got to seal the deal. And I'm not going to sit here, and maybe it's wrong, and maybe you'll yell at me, maybe positive Tommy will say, cheer up, it was a wonderful year, be positive. I'm just telling you that when you miss out on an opportunity, it sucks.
The Diamondbacks,
and you just can't assume you're going to be back.
The Diamondbacks are not the Mets. They don't have the same owner as the Mets.
I think Tiki's very passionate about this, and I just want one question answered, Tiki.
What's that?
What do you think is more likely to believe that really exists? The magic and aura around the Mets or aliens?
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
You have to pick one.
Aliens don't exist. So definitive.
At least not intelligent alien life. I'm sure that there is primordial life somewhere in the galaxy.
So I know that working
and that stupid signal that Evan sent us, it's just some interference from some distant quasar or something.
I know that when you work with a partner, you're like, man, when this happens, it's going to be amazing. Like, working with Craig, I said, boy, selfishly, I want to see his face if the Nets have to win an NBA title. Working with Beningo, it was, oh my God, can you imagine that show after the Jets win a Super Bowl? Like, we all have that, right? With Tiki Barber, it is that day we sign on the air, hopefully in the middle of February. It's a slow day. And we have to lead the show with the number one story in the world. And that is, yeah, so those intelligent aliens came down. And Tiki has to do a mea culpa. I'm sorry. I got it wrong. I can't believe I was so wrong about this. Like, that's my dream show.
And my dream is him saying, I never said that.
No, I'll admit it. I just don't. First of all, the likelihood of an alien race.
Here we go again.
I don't know how many light years away. Finding us is like, it's so small.
This bothers him so
it
much.
It really does.
I know.
It really does. Have you looked at images of the Earth from a light year away? Right?
Yes, I've looked at it. So to answer your question, Sean, me implying that the Mets have magic doesn't bother him nearly as much as the aliens.
I know it wouldn't.
We do have a football game tonight. Our pick is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the NFL and the New York Giants. Bud Light, easy to Sunday, easy to enjoy. By ELEC 825, Building Our Future. By Samuel Institute for Pain Management. Visit SamuelPain.com. And by Saks Underwear with the ballpark pouch. Right now, our standings have me and Lugie tied in first place, 16-16. Tiki Barber only 4 games behind at 12-20, and then 7 games behind first place, Sean Morash at 9-23. Sean is the only one, though, that got the Jet Bill game correct. Tonight, we've got a Thursday nighter between the Denver Broncos and the New Orleans Saints. The Denver Broncos are laying 2.5, and I'll kick it off. I don't mind. The Saints are so broken. They are so broken right now.
It feels like it, man.
That, like, the only way I could convince myself, because I think the number jumps out at people like, oh, my God, the Broncos are laying 2.5. That doesn't make any sense. But I was thinking about it football-wise, knowing the injuries that the Saints are dealing with, being without Olave, being without a real quarterback. No offense to Rattler.
It looks like Rashid Shaheed.
He's out, too.
He might be out for the year.
For the year.
Yeah. So their two best wide receivers are out. And really, the only thing I could think of is, all right, Alvin Kamara's got to have, like, the greatest game of his career. I trust the Denver Broncos to slow him down. We've seen it before. So in game number one, the only game of the evening, I'm going to lay the 2.5 with the Denver Broncos. I can't convince myself of football reasons while the Saints are going to pull this off. Give me Denver -2.5. Sean?
I'll go. The thing nobody's remembering about this game, Sean Payton returning to take on the Saints with his former defensive coordinator he knows everything about. Two rookie quarterbacks, who knows? Good luck with props in this game. Sean Payton's rubbing his hands together. He wants a piece of the Saints, even if he left them on his own. I'm laying the 2.5 as well here with Denver. But I will say New Orleans will find the end zone. A little sneaky prop bet for you. Forster Moreau, +850 to score a touchdown. How you doing?
Tommy Lugauer.
So when I look at the line, I think a lot of people are going to look at that and say, 2.5, I got to lay that on the road with Bo Nix. That's not really what you're doing here. You're laying 2.5 with the Denver defense against Spencer Rattler. So I'm with you guys. I like Denver laying the 2.5.
Well, I'm going to go opposite of all you guys. A home team as a home dog, that just troubles me. It's like motivating. Yeah, Sean Payton knows this New Orleans Saints offense and defense because they'll basically the Saints have the same staff for the last 30 years, it feels like. So he knows them well. But I just think there's something about Spencer Rattler that we saw last week that's going to give them an edge. He doesn't necessarily need the big plays, but play smart. And I know that because I just called their game, Bo Nix can be a disaster. So give me the Saints getting 2.5 at home.
And that's a game you'll hear right here on The Fan after Yankee baseball, correct? Right here on WFAN.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.